Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
Our second point, we turn and talk about relationship. I think we have a funny little slide up there. It's a bumper sticker you see a lot, the salt life. You know, when I first saw these bumper stickers around town, I had no idea what was going on. And I thought, is this a kind of movement, some kind of underground thing? What's happening? And then finally, I saw the one salt life where the two A's were like two fishing rods. I'm like, oh, I get it. The fishermen people with their boats and their stuff and the whole salt life. Let me tell you a little bit about ancient world fishing. You might enjoy that a little bit. And it's a different kind of salt life. Frank, we'll leave that up for a little bit while I talk through. That's fine. In the ancient world, here was fishing. Fishing was you and your 20-foot boat. Usually you had a partner. And a net that wasn't this nice little nylon mesh that we have today that you kind of throw out and you can kind of, you know, a little kid can pull it up. This was heavy rope tied upon tie upon tie upon tie into squares. They were usually approximately about 100 feet long. That is from where I'm standing inside our church, almost to either the middle of Middle Road or the other side. And then imagine soaking wet rope deep in water. And now you had to start hand over hand pulling it back in. Can you imagine the biceps on these guys? Can you imagine their thighs as they're anchoring down into their boats? I say it and my back hurts just thinking about it. Because think about, you know, and then as you pull in the net, the two boats come closer together. Maybe a little fishy, nothing there. If we got nothing, you know what you're doing? You're moving the boats a little bit to the area and you're doing it all over again. And again and again the entire night until the sun comes up. Are you tired yet? See, that's a salt life. Not this cool thing where I'm cushioned, have a little umbrella over me, and I'm fishing off the back of my boat. No, no, no. This is like fishing. This is what these guys did. That was a true salt life. Thank you, Frank, for that. That was a true salt life where these guys were working. And all of a sudden now, let's fast forward then to Peter off on the side, a little glazy-eyed, kind of over him. He's tired. Jesus is talking. And you know when it sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher, wah, 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 you know when the preacher's been talking a little bit too long or that seminar in your job has been going on too long and you're like, five cups of coffee is not working. I need something else. You know, that kind of thing. It's what's happening. And when Jesus says amen, Peter kind of comes. Oh, he said amen. He finished. And he's going to take out the oar. They're just a couple of yards. He's going to roll it back to shore. Jesus turns to this guy. After everything I just described to you, for hours, an entire night, right? They already had washed the nets with their little setup on the shore. They already had a small little breakfast, right? The sun now is burning down on them because Jesus has been talking for a while. Jesus turns to this guy and says, let's go fishing. Are you kidding me? Are you crazy? You know, he's probably saying to himself, my arms don't work right now. My thighs are on fire. My knees hurt. I got to go home to my family. And Jesus is like, no, no, why don't we put it out in the deep water? Listen, very closely, church. Sometimes Jesus will wait until you are tired and you are exhausted and you are overwhelmed. And then he will say to you, throw out the net again. Is he doing it to hurt you? Is he doing it to try to kind of somehow damage you? No. He wants you to press deeper into trusting him. He wants you to press deeper into obeying him. He wants you to press deeper into depending on him. When this is why the Apostle Paul writes, second, and I actually quoted it for you, 2 Corinthians 12. What does the Apostle Paul say? The Apostle Paul says, my strength, God says, is made perfect. Can you finish the phrase? In your weakness. That's what we're going after here. When you have nothing left to give, that's when your walk with Jesus starts. Because as long as everything is well and good and you're strong and everybody's healthy, everything's fine. But when things start to wobble and shake, then we find out how far we're willing to press into Jesus Christ. To hurt you, no. To show you more of himself, absolutely yes. A little bit of doubt in Peter's voice, yes. A little bit of reluctance, yes. But we appreciate his obedience and devotion. Now let's talk about his power and what it does. He was reluctant. He was unsure about the command he was given, about the direction he was being given. But in faith, he threw out the net again. And now you have fish jumping into the nets. They're not empty. Now they're jumping in, and it's going to sink your boat. God always blesses his people abundantly. Don't you ever doubt that. The blessing might not be exactly what you're thinking. It might not be exactly how you thought it was going to come. Oh, but it's sweet. And it's exactly to what you need. And it's a perfect fit into your life. Empty nets with Jesus, empty hands with Jesus, never. God gives his people abundance, always. And that's why he asks for his people to be grateful, to be thank you, to say thank you as much as possible to him for everything he's given them. You see his power over nature, over fish. The fish are obeying their creator. In the same way that the waters parted in Egypt, that little frogs and locusts were all over the place. Now fish jump into nets because you're seeing the power of God. And this is where sometimes we say to ourselves, how did that happen? How did this blessing kind of come together? How did these pieces fall into place? And some people say, hey, you know, that was lucky. No, it was not. It was God's will. It was God's sovereign will for your life. It was time for the blessing to come. It was time for the abundance to come. And he will give it to his people always. And then the last little piece before we close in this part of relationship is this. Jesus will sometimes ask you to do the impossible. You've caught nothing all night. Peter had nothing to show for it. He lost money. He lost time. And he's exhausted and he's tired. And he's being asked to go even further, to push even farther. Jesus is asking him for the impossible. Where you as a human being have looked and done and you see no way out, you see no recourse, you're like, okay, so how? So how? And Jesus is like, let me show you how. That's what he says. Let me show you how. I will do it for you and I will show you not just my power. I will show you myself in the impossible and what only he can accomplish. And that takes us into our closing. Because look at what Peter says. And notice this, church. Look how pretty. Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. Did you notice the shift in the text? He's been Simon the whole time. And now Luke very gently slides in Simon Peter. Here is a man whose eyes are beginning to open. Here is a man with one foot in each kingdom. Here is a man with one foot in each world. Listen, church, whenever I say to you, see things through Jesus' eyes, let me unpack it for you just a touch more so you can understand what I'm saying about kingdom values and living by them and seeing the world as God does. In your minds, and we've all seen the old world movies, so just imagine a big stone wall, right? The one that protects the kingdom. And you have the two big pretty columns with the guard standing on top, drawbridge in the middle. Can we all see that? Right? I say that very quickly, and your Hollywood picture is like, I see it. Drawbridge comes open. The king is standing in the little hallway. He invites you in. King takes you in. Drawbridge is still down. And he brings you into one of the columns, and the column has a little window. And the king stands there next to you and says, tell me what you see. See, because now the king wants to show you how he views the world. It's not just a little fishing boat and a little lake and going about your business. Now you get to see things as the king sees them. And this is what's happening to Peter. This was just, like we said last week, this was just Joseph's son. A guy who maybe was a miracle healer. He healed my mother-in-law, you know? And now, all of a sudden, I am seeing the world as he sees it. And I see how small my little boat really is. And I see other people. And I see the vista. Because since I'm constantly looking one direction, and it's my direction, I ignore everything else behind me. And so now that I've got to turn around and look back, all of a sudden, I am looking and I see things how he sees it. And I see the towns on the hills. And I see the hustle and bustle. And now I see what the king sees. And instead of scolding him, how could you not believe? He invites Peter to join him on the greatest of journeys to bring other people back to life. They had spent a lifetime catching fish that were alive to kill them so people can eat them. And now he is saying, catch dead people to make them alive by showing them me. Peter needed to see him. He needed to see his power. He needed to witness this. And that's why he says, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. That's an interesting reaction. But it shouldn't surprise you. What did we say last week or 2 weeks ago about the two chairs during the prayer vigil? People didn't want to get in the chair when they thought Jesus was sitting in the other one. Why did Adam and Eve hide when they knew the presence of God was coming? Job chapter 42. I have heard the voice of the Lord. I repent. I can't believe that I would hear his voice. Isaiah chapter 6, I have seen the Lord high and mighty. Woe is me. Israel trembling at the bottom of Mount Sinai with the glory of God on top. John writing Revelation, the last book in the scripture, the baby of the bunch who now is the oldest one about to die. And he says, I saw Jesus and I fell down as if I was dead. You see, that's what John the Baptist was talking about a couple of weeks ago. When you turn, when you finally look in the mirror, when you have the courage to look in the mirror and you see yourself for what you truly are, then you turn to Jesus and you see him for what he truly is. And the first reaction is, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this table. This table represents the body and the blood of Christ. This is not just juice and bread. Body and blood spilled for you. Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Is Peter right? Yes. Was Jesus going to take that denial? No. He invites him in. Join me, fishers of men. See, the king leaves the drawbridge down. And he says, now that you see the world as I see it, now that you've gotten a glimpse at my view, now you walk out over that drawbridge and you go. And you speak for me. And you represent me. New eyes, new people with a new purpose. And that's the beauty of 2021, church. We're being given the opportunity, like Peter, lay down your nets. Tell me what is in the way of you following Jesus with all of your heart, mind, and soul. And I will say to you in faith, drop that net. He will give you more if you would trust him, if you would follow his voice, if you would press deeper into depending only on him and watch the blessings flow and watch him navigate your boat through the worst of storms, creating holy ground along the way. So, church, today I invite you not into a religion, but into a relationship. And the relationship begins here. Beautiful that we have the table. But I say to you what Jesus said to Peter this morning. Drop your net and follow me. Whatever it is you're clinging to does not measure up to who he is. So don't let it get in the way. Follow him and follow him alone. New purpose, new person, new eyes, new direction, heading in step by step into 2021. Can I get an amen from the church? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that instead of turning us away, you invite us close. And I pray now as we prepare ourselves to approach your table, that you would just clear our minds of distractions, clear our hearts, prepare our souls, that we might engage and encounter you in a different way, but a way that will deepen us, bring us closer to you. Thank you that you have invited us to join you in bringing change, in being people of impact, that we might create holy ground wherever we go. We're here, God. Use us, your instruments. So, Heavenly Father, again, we love you. We thank you for giving us Jesus, who preaches to us, who leads us, who pushes us, who blesses us, who never lets us waver or fall. Give us the courage and strength to drop the nets that are holding us from following you with all mind, heart, and soul, that we might truly be kingdom people, living kingdom values, creating holy ground, and bringing change where it's desperately needed. Use us, God. Use us. We love you, and we thank you for Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen and amen. church, always the most beautiful Sunday of the month. And as you can tell this morning, a little bit chilly. They worked on the air this week, so I can see some of you cuddling out there. It is a little cold in here, even I feel it. And I'm always warm. So definitely, we got to bring that coffee back somehow, Frank. We got to work on that, right? Church, a privilege to invite you to the Lord's table this morning. This is not the table of Redeemer Church. This is not the table of our sister church, Palmetto Presbyterian. This is the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he invites all who have confessed with their lips and in their hearts that he is their Lord and Savior to come and to fellowship with him. I remind you that this table is but a window into eternity. This is the table that's been prepared for you, the table of feast, the fellowship that will take place with God forever and forevermore. I want to show you, and we want to go through the creed before we pray this morning, as we always do. I remind you that the Apostles' Creed is the oldest of our creeds. It's a summary of the Christian faith, and so we declare it together before we approach the table. Church, would you join your voices with me? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Church, before we approach the table, I want to give you a few moments of confession. As I always declare to you on this day, you confess to no church, you confess to no man. You confess directly to God through Jesus Christ, who is the true and greater high priest, the only one. So I want to ask you to just bow your heads for a moment. I want to give you a few quiet moments to just reflect and then to pray. And whatever sin you're carrying, whatever burden you're carrying, whatever maybe damage you're carrying, I want you to just bring it before the Lord, and then I'll close us in a few moments with a word of prayer. Let's come before the Lord in an attitude of confession. Morning, and just be transparent and honest about ourselves, our issues, our sin, our problems. We bring them before you, knowing full well that they are before you anyway. You know them all, and you look even deeper into our hearts, and you can see the pain and the anxiety and the anguish that they bring, the damage that they cause. So, Heavenly Father, we bring all these things to the foot of the cross, and we ask that you perform a miracle today, that the burden would be left behind, that the guilt and the shame over sin would be left behind, that the baggage would no longer slow us down, that we would know that in Jesus Christ we are totally forgiven and things are new, and that newness begins here at this table. So Heavenly Father, we praise you that you did not turn your back on us. You did not abandon us. In fact, the complete opposite. You gave us your Son and he died to redeem and change it all. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. And for that, God, we are grateful. And for that, we surrender ourselves to you. We will trust you. We want to hear your voice. And I pray that today, as we approach this table, that we will experience your presence in a fresh and deep and new way. Only you can do that, God. And I pray in these moments that you would take these simple elements and that you would transform them, that they would nourish our souls, that they would bring peace again, wholeness again, reassurance again, confidence again in you and in what you've done for us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we ask all these things in his name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.